News, culture, and NPR. For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Stephanie Phillips continues her conversation with Jessica Weiss, founder and executive director of Growing Soul. In her segment Now You Know, you'll hear about this food waste program designed to remediate climate change through carbon sequestration. Western Sullivan Public Library youth programmer Callison Stratton and local professional gardener Adrian Pichano comment about the Junior Master Gardeners program. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report after news headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. European Union's top trade chief says the EU stands ready to defend its interests, saying in a social media post that the EU is committed to securing a deal with the U.S. based on mutual respect and not threats. President Trump is threatening to hike tariffs on all EU imports. Here's NPR Scott Horsley.
It's become kind of a familiar pattern now. The president took to social media to rattle his tariff saber. He complained that trade talks with the EU have been, quote, going nowhere. And he threatened to impose a 50% tax on all imports from the European Union unless that changes by June 1st.
President Trump is also warning of a 25% tariff increase on Apple unless the company starts manufacturing its iPhones in the U.S. The Supreme Court is temporarily blocking a watchdog group from accessing records from Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. NPR's Bobby Allen reports the ruling stems from a lawsuit seeking to shed light on the Doge team's activities.
The nonprofit Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington is suing the Trump administration to uncover details about Doge's dealings in the U.S. government. The lawsuit argues Doge is exceeding its legal authority and asks that internal communications, financial disclosures, and other documents be released to the public. A federal district judge found Doge is likely subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. But after an appeal, Chief Justice John Roberts is pausing that ruling, meaning Doge records do not have to be turned over as the appeals process continues. It's a win for the Trump administration, which has stated Doge is operating transparently despite most of its activities being shrouded in secrecy. Those activities have resulted in tens of thousands of federal workers being fired and the unwinding of entire government agencies. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Palestinian hospital and health officials say Israeli airstrikes on Friday killed more than 70 people, and authorities say dozens are trapped beneath the rubble. Israel's prime minister has readied tens of thousands of ground troops to move into Gaza, but they've yet to be fully deployed. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in the north and in Gaza's second largest city remain under evacuation orders, as NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
While the ground troops have remained largely on hold, airstrikes continue bombarding several areas in Gaza, especially in the north, where residents have been ordered to clear several days ago. Fatima Al-Ghouf was walking from her home in Jabalia in the north. She says she has nowhere to go. The 19-year-old says she'll just stop on the side of the road wherever she can. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the goal of the threatened ground offensive is to gain total control over Gaza. Under growing international criticism, Israel has allowed minimal aid into Gaza, which UN officials call, quote, wholly inadequate. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News.
Recently on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Shantira Jackson got excited about the new American Pope.
We won something and I'll take the gold even if it's a chalice.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week we see if Saturday Night Live star Ego Wota medals in our competition. Join us for the news quiz where everybody gets on the podium. That's this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution. CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, Stephanie Phillips continues her conversation with Jessica Weiss, founder and executive director of Growing Soul. In her segment, Now You Know, you'll hear about this food waste program designed to remediate climate change through carbon sequestration. Western Sullivan Public Library youth programmer Callison Stratton and local professional gardener Adrian Picciano comment about the Junior Master Gardeners program. But first, here is Keith Hubbard with this week's Star Talk report. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Scientists have found strong evidence that a relatively nearby planet could support extraterrestrial life. The planet in question is named K2-18b and is 124 light years away from Earth. It is 2.6 times as large as Earth. It orbits its parent star in the habitable zone. The habitable zone is a region around a star where a planet could host liquid water. Liquid water is essential for life on Earth, and the thought is that liquid water will be essential for other forms of life, too. Scientists used the James Webb Space Telescope to analyze the planet's atmosphere as it crossed the face of its parent star. The telescope detected the presence of two chemicals that are produced primarily by marine phytoplankton on Earth. The James Webb Space Telescope first detected one of the chemicals in 2023 using two near-infrared instruments. The observations at the time were consistent with the presence of the chemical but did not confirm it. This prompted scientists to study the planet again, this time using a different instrument on the JWST. The second study detected the same chemical as the first, as well as a second chemical. The second study used a different instrument and a different wavelength range of light than the first and was able to confirm the findings of the first study. While the results of these two studies provide strong evidence for life existing beyond our solar system, they are not the smoking gun evidence that scientists are looking for.
For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
This is Stephanie Phillips with Now You Know for Farm and Country. This morning, my guest is Jessica Weiss, founder and executive director of Growing Soul, which encourages production, processing, preservation, redistribution, and composting food to prevent waste. Jessica, what's your educational background?
I was raised in California, and I went to Berkeley to college, and then I went to grad school at Loyola for my master's in education and curriculum, and then I also went to the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising for space planning and kind of systems creations for design to make things more efficient.
So you were gradually moving east?
Yes. I was born at West Point, so it's returning to home in very many ways. I was not very happy in California for a while until I got to Northern California and it really touched my heart.
What is FIDM? It says you have a space planning degree. Does that have something to do with FIDM?
That's the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. So they teach business, they teach fashion, but they also teach interior design and space planning. And basically it helped me to create environments that were cozy and that were efficient. I'm not an interior decorator, but to be able to see an open office space or a gymnasium and be able to figure out how we could utilize our space.
Jessica, you also have a master's in education and curriculum development. Are you using that expertise?
Absolutely. So we have been working with the 4-H at Cornell Cooperative Extension with Barbara Moran, and we have a program called Earth Defenders. It's a 6-week-long curriculum where we teach all of the elements necessary to have a truly sustainable food system. Our food system really is, we say it's a broken earth, it's a linear chain where you grow, people eat, and then they throw it away. And we look at composting as the linchpin that makes things truly sustainable because it keeps the nutrients in the soil. If you look at even a piece of organic broccoli from the 1950s and compare it to a piece of organic broccoli now, there's like far less vitamin A because the soils have been depleted. So we want to keep the nutrients in the soil so that we can continue to grow fresh food.
Jessica, how did you end up as executive director of Growing Soul?
Well, I founded it. I created it. I was very much into the local food movement. This was around 2009. I read The Omnivore's Dilemma, and I was reading about the ideal farm was pasturing your animals and rotational grazing and things I'd sort of never heard about. So I got really into Wendell Berry and learning more about agriculture and the way that it works in flow with the land. And so I started to get food through Polyface Farms. And I was a hostess where people could come to my house and pick up the food that they had ordered. There was a movie called Fresh that a young woman had made because she was feeling kind of hopeless about climate change. And she found 5 different people in the food system that were doing amazing things. One of them was Will Allen, and one of them was Polyface Farms. And so they were both there on a panel. I was extremely taken with Will Allen. I'd not heard of him. He is 6'7". He was a first African-American all-star basketball player in Montgomery County. And then he was the first African-American ever recruited to professional basketball, so the Miami Heat, he played for them. And in 1967, he married his white girlfriend, and they moved to old greenhouses in Milwaukee. And he just made them come to life. His parents were sharecroppers in Kensington, Maryland. He remembered that he wanted to get back to the soil. He was a farmer who got away from sharecropping farming and became this athlete star. And then he realized when he was traveling in Europe that the food was so much better there and it just wasn't the same at home. And so he wanted to go back and really make this great food. And he was on the panel, and he has an initiative called Growing Food and Justice for All. And his belief was that we can dismantle racism by creating equal access to food for everyone. And that was really powerful. In my mind, I'm a systems analyst, and I think on my feet and throw things together. And I went up to him after the movie, and of course he was sitting down and I was standing up. I'm 5 feet tall, and so I was looking him directly in the eye, and I said, how would you like to create an outreach training center for your vision on the soil trails of the Underground Railroad in your hometown? And he said, let's talk. Now, I brought 5 people to Milwaukee, and we did our training. We learned all about vermicomposting and urban farming and how to do vertical gardening and just basically a lot about composting. And I'd been composting since I was a little kid, but I didn't know the process. I just knew that I was taking the bucket out to the back and throwing leaves over it. And it was so inspiring working with people from all different walks of life, socioeconomically, racially, religiously, and they would come to this community kitchen. And I had a group of nurses who were volunteering. I had a group of daisies, which I guess are the precursor to Girl Scouts, group of like 6-year-old girls. And I had this call that was, do you do court hours? Can I get community service for my court-appointed hours? So I said, you know, was it a violent crime? No. You know, were the weapons involved? No. Was it sexual nature? No. And so this kid comes in, and he tattooed arms and the hat backwards and the pants kind of hanging down. And he immediately looked at the little girls at the table, and he said, "Oh, I have a six-year-old sister who I just love. Can I help them with the apples?" He was showing them how to use the apple core, and he was so delightful. And after the little girls left, I said, "Okay, what are you in for? What were you arrested for?" And he said, "I was actually driving to a concert in Tennessee, and I was speeding because there was nobody around." And one of the nurses, who is this 85-year-old woman, says, "Did you go to Bonnaroo?" And he said, "Yeah." And she was like, "Do you like..." And I can't even remember the name of the band. But he was like, "Yeah." And so for the next 6 weeks, while he did his community service hours that he needed, the two of them would meet in the kitchen and listen to music and kind of dance together and cook. Here were these two people from completely disparate areas of life and age and everything. And they were just grooving together in music, cooking food.
Yeah, that's great. Jessica, you talked about composting. Obviously, different kinds of food compost differently. Are there limitations on what you can compost?
Well, it's funny because a lot of people are, "We don't want meat. You know, you can't take meat, you can't take fat, you can't take dairy." And if you think about it, if a cow or a deer dies in the woods, it completely composts down on its own. That's what organic things do. If you're composting in an urban situation where there's a lot of rats around, you want to make sure to do your meats and your dairy inside. And if you can, that's where you can do different forms. So like with vermicomposting, because worms don't eat the food, they eat the bacteria and they eat the microbes. So the microbes eat the food and then the worms eat the microbes. So the more you slush things up and crush them, like you wouldn't put a whole watermelon down and expect it to vermicompost. But if you have soldier fly larvae, they take a Big Mac and they devour it within a minute and a half. So it just depends on what your system is. If you want to do it through anaerobic digestion or vermicomposting or backyard composting, or they have these machines that are really grinders and dehydrators, that so it makes it not smell as much. Here, the biggest problem we have in Sullivan County is a lot of our systems are outdoors and we have bear. And it doesn't help to, if you were taking a dumpster and putting your system in a dumpster, I know bears rip the lids off of dumpsters, so it's not like just putting a lid with a lock on it is going to present that. And that's why the anaerobic digester is such a great option when you do have a very active critter.
You said you can't compost dairy and meat?
You can. It's just that if someone's doing it in their backyard in the city, it draws raccoons if you don't do it properly, if you don't mix it well with your browns and your greens. So your greens are your nitrogen sources, that's your food scraps. Your carbon, which is leaves, paper, wood chips, and you want to have a ratio of 30 carbons to one nitrogen. So you need a whole mound. You know, imagine you want 30 pounds of paper and wood chips for every pound of food scraps. So you don't have a lot of space when you're doing it in your backyard necessarily. Here, everybody just throws their apple cores out and feed the deer, which is fantastic. There's not nearly as much of a need for composting here as there is in the city.
Well, we compost anyway because we use the compost.
Right, and that's the thing, is that people, farmers, rural people, it's part of their lives, it's part of their culture, it's what they've been doing for generations. It's normal to them. So when we walk into Sullivan West and say, "Who here has heard of composting?" It's like half the class is like, "Oh, we do this and we do that and we do that." When I do that down in Maryland, like, "What's composting? Ooh, dirt touched my food? Are you kidding?" I mean, they're so removed from their food. It's just meeting people where they're at. But yes, anything that is organic can be composted.
Does the Cornell Cooperative Extension actually have a compost on its premises?
Well, you can see right there, we have in our offices, we have along with our recycling in our landfill, there's a place for collecting it, and then we bring it and we put it into we call it the horse. It's like high output resources for electricity, so it's the horse.
Actually, you sound like you're all over the place. What can you kind of list what you've done at Cornell Cooperative Extension since you've been here for 2.5 years?
Yeah, well, we have worked with them to partner to create a demonstration model. So if we were out in the parking lot about 50 feet back there, on the left side of the back of the parking lot is where we're creating a vermicomposting. We've been free cycling the PEX buckets or from PEX and ShopRite and the icing buckets from the bakery. And we
say that again.
So at the bakery, when they're making cupcakes and they ice the cupcakes, they get these 3-gallon buckets of icing. And they go through anywhere between 5 and 20 a week, depending on if it's St. Patrick's Day, there's going to be a lot of green cupcake icing. So we go every week to ShopRite and we collect their used buckets that they've rinsed out, and we have them stacked up in the greenhouse over there. You can see the stacks of the buckets. Or on the left side, we're making a bucket corral, and we're using the buckets to put them into the ground and encourage the worms.
Yeah, what are the buckets made of?
They're plastic. They're like a PVC plastic, and we drill holes in them so that the worms can come into the buckets. As opposed to starting with a worm bin, we're encouraging the worms to come in through the soil. So we've been putting lettuce leaves and veg out there, doing some composting over the past couple years to get it rich so that we know that there's a lot of worms in the soil. And now we're harvesting the worms, basically, so that we're creating a worm farm over there. Over here, next to the greenhouse, there's the kitchen garden. So we're teaching our grow there. Then we have the anaerobic digester. And then there's the commercial kitchen here. Cornell donated 200 days of us being in the kitchen to make our bone broth and to do our cooking for redistribution. And then Marty Calavato and Lynn, his wife, run the community cupboard where they distribute the food. So we were making bone broth that we would make and give to Marty, and they would deliver the town. So the idea is that at Cornell, there is a visual model of all the different things that Growing Soul does and that we believe are necessary for a sustainable food system that leads to food security. And as we've been here, we've met different people and been able to explore, like, the Catskills Food Hub. We had all these chicken carcasses because we can give a tax deduction for a chicken carcass. It doesn't need to have meat on it because we use the bones to make our bone broth. So we pull the meat off of the bones and we're using the bones to make the bone broth. When we're making our bone broth, we do the mirepoix garden with the kids, so we're getting our lovage and carrots and onions and parsley. And then we take chicken carcasses or beef bones or pig feet or whatever, like I said, the bones and offal that we get from the pastured animal farmers, and we put them together in a big, huge soup pot, and we cook it for 2 days and extract all of the vital nutrients, and then we have the mushy bones that we bury the same way that you would, if you had a horse that died on your farm, that you would take care of it. There are ways of composting your bones. Like I said, you just have to be more careful to bury them so that the animals don't dig them up.
I'm worried about all those buckets with holes in them. They're all plastic. I mean, they won't go away. What are you going to do with them?
That's why we're repurposing them, right? So plastics has a purpose. It's light, it makes transport easy. It's the single usage of the plastic that's the problem. So by creating these worm bins, like, we're going to be creating a 20-foot diameter peace sign out of 52 of these icing buckets. So that's 52 buckets of plastic that are not in the landfill that are being used to capture worms. And everybody who comes to our classes is entitled to get a bucket that they decorate, and they take it home, and they can use it so that they can join the composting pilot, which we work with for Sullivan County Public Works. You take a bucket of your food scraps, and you can bring it to, I think, 6 of the transfer stations, not Bethel and not Neversink, because they're privately owned, but all the other places have food scrap collections available. So we give you a free bucket, and your kid can take it to class and decorate it, and they're doing their things. We want to find ways of reusing everything. You can use a bucket to grow a plant in. You can use it in my car. I have all the hazari that I keep to make sure that I'm safe in my grocery bags and all that. I keep it in a little bucket. It's all about rethinking waste and reallocating it.
So now you know what happens to excess food from wholesalers, restaurants, grocery stores, and caterers. Explaining how she promotes redistribution of food has been Jessica Weiss, founder and executive director of Growing Soul. And this has been Stephanie Phillips for Farm and Country.
The Tustin Coshecton branch of the Western Sullivan Public Library is hosting a youth program called Junior Master Gardeners. This is a hands-on arts and gardening program for children aged 6 through 12. There are 9 sessions that meet on the first Saturdays of the month from April through December. These classes are actively led by Western Sullivan Public Library youth programmer Callison Stratton and local professional gardener Adrian Pichano, also known as the Dirt Diva. Here are some of their comments about the Junior Master Gardener program that's in full swing.
I'm Callison Stratton. I am the youth programmer for Western Sullivan Public Library, and along with Adrian Pichano, we are running the Junior Master Gardeners program. The program meets on the first Saturday of every month, and the kids don't have to commit to all of the sessions, but it is really wonderful, and all of the kids here came to our first session. So that's really fun to see them, to get to see the plants, like the seeds that they planted, and seeing them sprouting, and they're going to get to go into the garden, the Tustin Heritage Community Garden, and plant in the library's plot. So that's going to be really exciting.
I'm Adrian Pichano, a.k.a. the Dirt Diva, and I am here with the Junior Master Gardeners as a collaborator with Callison Stratton, the Youth Programs Coordinator at the Tustin Coshecton branch of the Western Sullivan Public Library. Callison and I are doing a series this spring, summer, and fall for local kids to be able to take part in this national program. It's 8 classes long. We meet once a month at the Tustin branch, which has its own community garden attached to it. So we're very fortunate that we have that resource, as well as the Seed Library, which is part of this branch of the Western Sullivan Public Library system. And basically, if they complete all 8 classes, they get certified as a Junior Master Gardener. So it teaches them a little bit about botany, horticulture, community gardening, plant biology, all of the like things that the Master Gardeners as adults learn, but on a scaled-down version for kids. And I love working with this group because their enthusiasm for like just being raw, like excited about being in the dirt, reminds me of when I was that age, and is why I decided to go into gardening as a profession, because I've always had passion for working with plants in particular, and it's just really cool to see kids light up when you take them outside and just show them a bed full of soil that has nothing in it, and they figure out what to do. And so Callison and I are just here to kind of steer their attention and focus, and then teach them a little bit of background behind what they're doing. And each month is a different topic.
The topics covered will focus on seed starting, plant growth and development, soil composition and composting, how the environment impacts growth, landscape design, good and bad bugs in the garden, pollination and flowers that turn to fruit, recipes for the garden harvest, and getting the garden ready for winter. We'll hear more about this Junior Master Gardener program in session at the Western Public Library on Radio Catskill. WSPLonline.org has more information about this Junior Master Gardener program. Hope that you enjoyed our show this week, with production by Radio Catskill volunteers Keith Hubbard, Stephanie Phillips, and myself, Rosie Starr. Special thanks goes to our guests, Jessica Weiss, founder and executive director of Growing Soul, Western Sullivan Public Library youth programmer Callison Stratton, and local professional gardener Adrian Pichano about the Junior Master Gardeners program. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill. Listen to us on air and on your smartphone. Stream us live on our webpage, wjffradio.org. We are Radio Catskill, local news, culture, conversations, and NPR.